Let's pray. Almighty God, we've just sung these words, holy, holy, holy. Because you are holy. You are worthy of our devotion. You are worthy of our praise. You are perfect in power, love, and purity. There's no one like you. And in a world that falls short over and over, who you are is what we need. You invite us to feel your love. You invite us to be called your children. And Father, for this and for so much more, we thank you. We gather today for different reasons. Our presence here is not an accident. It indicates something in us that may be stirring, Father. It may be a desire to meet with you or an acknowledgement of you as Lord of our life. And for some, it might come from this place of need, this sense that what the world has to offer is not enough and that maybe there's something more. And Heavenly Father, regardless of why we're here, we invite you to speak to our hearts. For some, this may have been a week of joyous celebration. We know that you don't shy away from celebrating. Good gifts come from you, and we thank you for this. For many, this week might have felt just like survival, for running from one thing to the next, And in this time that we have together in this place, may this be a place where we can sit in stillness and quiet and let your Spirit speak to our hearts. Kind of a pause in a moment that's been so full. And for others, this may be a week filled with difficulty. It could have had difficult news. You could have had loved ones suffering. For some, there may be painful diagnoses or difficult conversations and hurt-filled moments. And Father, we know that you do not stand at a distance on this kind of a week. In the moments that feel so dark, when it feels like there's no hope, you are the one who brings light to those places. And so we invite you to speak to our hearts. Lord, show us this light. Meet with us here. And so this morning, for those of us grieving, to those of us celebrating, and for everyone in between, we just say we need you, Father. Thank you for this invitation to be part of your family. Thank you for your love. And we invite you to prepare our hearts. Create in us a sensitivity to your Spirit. As we open your word, we pray that we would receive what it is that you desire for us to sense and to hear, Father. We love you. Amen. You may be seated. I'd also invite the children and Grace Kids and student leadership teams to head to their classes now.
All right. I have the mic up here just in case this one conks out on us again. We're getting new equipment pretty soon, by the way, and so we'll have a little more stability with our sound system and those sorts of things. So just catching up to modern technology, it takes a bit. So we're getting there. Anyway, so just wanted to let you know some of the things that are happening. You'll notice that we didn't have the announcements at the beginning of the service. We're just mixing things up a little because we find that, you know, it's hard to get everybody in right at 10:30. And so a lot of you are like, wait, we have announcements at the beginning? And that's okay. We're just glad you're here. That's the thing. So just wanted to let you know just a few things. Like if you ever wonder what's happening at Grace Point, check out our website because it has all the information. And make sure that you're signed up on the email list so that you get all the information emailed to you. But that means you have to read your email and open it and look through it and those sorts of things. But just in case, we have a few things just to let you know. First of all, we have our Connected class that's happening this coming Saturday. And we're going to have some pastries. I don't know how good they're going to be. It depends what's available on Saturday morning or what's left over when you go to the bakery. Or when I go to the bakery. So we're going to have a Connected class, which is basically an intro of who we are as Grace Point, what we're a part of, what you're getting into. It also is kind of that step to be able to be a part of our church in the sense of like membership, if that's really important to you. But just it's mostly about getting to know, you know, us, helping us get to know you and you to get to know us a little bit as a church and who we are as Grace Point and who we're affiliated with. All that kind of stuff that's going to be important. And it also gives you an opportunity to ask us really hard questions. Pastor Egbert's going to be there. He's really good at answering questions. And I will just kind of watch him. No, I'm kidding. I love questions as well. But that's a great opportunity for you to be able to ask the tough questions about who we are, what we believe, and what we stand for, those sorts of things. And so that's going to start at 9 a.m. And if you could, please sign up for that through our website and let us know that you're coming, and all are welcome to that. So also, we have our AGM that's going to be happening on June 25th. And so we also have bios of people who are entering into our leadership. We have three new trustees that we're proposing, as well as a new elder. And so their bios are posted just by the Welcome Center there, if you want to have a look at those, just to see who is coming up and who's going to be voted in at our AGM. Also, we're going to have the newcomer picnic on June 11th as a way of connecting and celebrating. See, we've kind of had this ministry that we've started, which is a ministry to newcomers to Canada, which is welcoming some of the refugees that have moved into our neighborhood. And they found us. And so we're just trying to help them get settled into Canada. And that's just been a ministry that's been wonderful. And a lot of you have participated in that. And all of you have participated in, actually, through prayer, as well as through some of your tithing money has gone to them. And so we just want to invite everyone to come to that. It's going to be at Jackie Parker Park on June 11th. But also, if you could go to the website and sign up for that as well, just so that we know you're coming and we know how many hot dogs to have, basically. Uh-oh, I let you know what we're going to be having. But hot dogs, it's not a surprise. So that's going to be happening, but please sign up by June 4th for that, so that we know you're coming and that you can celebrate with us, and we can just have a time of connecting, getting to know each other more, and just have fun at the park and enjoy hot dogs. So anyway, so today our sermon is going to be about Pentecost Sunday. Today is Pentecost Sunday, and it's an amazing time of being able to unpack this story in Acts chapter 2. So we're moving from Luke into Acts just for this Sunday, and we're going to be talking about the Holy Spirit, which is not something that we talk about all the time, and maybe something that we should even talk about a little bit more. And so we've been talking about Jesus, and we're going to get to the Holy Spirit eventually when we talk about, when we go through the book of Acts and journey through the book of Acts together. As we go through that preaching series, and that's going to be all about the early church. That's all going to be all about the power of the Holy Spirit and how the Spirit empowered people. And it's going to be an incredible journey. And so I hope that you stick with us for the next, like, I don't know, 3 years as we journey through Luke and Acts together. And after that, you can decide whether you want to stay after 3 years. But hopefully you will. So anyway, so it's basically, it's the seventh Sunday after Easter. We're still in the Easter season. Did you know that? We're still in the Easter season. So it's the seventh Sunday after Easter. It's still in that Easter season. And this is basically, Jesus has ascended, right? We had Ascension Sunday, and Ascension Day was on a Thursday. And where Jesus ascended into heaven, and he said, just kind of wait right here for the next, he didn't say 10 days, but they waited 10 days. So they sat and they prayed and they worshiped God for 10 days together, every moment they could. And then now, 10 days later, we have this amazing moment of the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is this mysterious part of the Trinity. We believe in the Trinity here at this church, which is Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And the Trinity is how God is in three forms. The same God, same person, but in three forms. So God the Father, the Creator, the one who kind of oversaw everything. And then we've got Jesus, of course, who is the Son, who came to this earth and who died for us and rose again and forgave us of our sins and reestablished our relationship with God. And then here we've got the Holy Spirit, which we can imagine a father, right? Like a patriarchal or a parental figure of this ideal parent who our parents could never measure up to, because he's kind, he's loving, he's wonderful, but he's all powerful. So he's a little bit scary, but all at the same time, he's so loving and kind that the fear just kind of melts away. And he's incredible. And then we can imagine Jesus, you know, this Middle Eastern man who came to the earth and was a wonderful rabbi and prophet and healed a whole bunch of people and raised people from the dead and cast out demons and did all these wonderful things. And then he died on a cross. We can imagine all of that. And we can actually, like, draw a picture of God the Father, and we can draw a picture of Jesus. But the Holy Spirit, what what does the Holy Spirit look like? It's hard to imagine the Holy Spirit as that expression of God that we interact with and what we understand. And the Holy Spirit is like this ghost expression of God that causes these weird things to happen around us and in us and through us. And it's hard to really tangibly understand the Holy Spirit. But we have to understand that the Holy Spirit is an equal part of God. And that the Holy Spirit is continually interacting with us each and every moment of each and every day. That's incredible to think, isn't it? That God is present with us in His Holy Spirit. He is within us as His Holy Spirit when we become Christian. And so the disciples were gathering together and praying for 10 days, and they didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit, but they knew that Jesus said, "Wait, I have a gift for you." And they're like, "Okay, He gave us like salvation. What's next? He wants to give us a gift? We're going to just wait, and we're just going to praise God because we know it's going to be pretty cool. It's going to be absolutely awesome." So here it is. The Holy Spirit comes at Pentecost. Acts chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost came, they were together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. And all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them." So Jesus told them to wait for the gift, and they did some things, and they were worshiping and they were praying together. And now the Holy Spirit has come. The Holy Spirit, the Counselor, the Empower, has arrived. And so imagine with me just this situation, because it's a little bit weird, right? It's a little bit weird. It's why Christians have to embrace the fact that we're a little bit weird, because weird things happen when God shows up. And it's not weird in a sense of like, oh, that's kind of freaky. It's weird in the sense that it's something that is supernatural in this situation, isn't it? So you have the sound of a violent wind. Now, I know violent wind. I grew up in southern Alberta. I was talking to one of my newest friends, Tim. He grew up in Coaldale, which is right next to Lethbridge. Those are windy places, friends. Like, it was windy here the other day, and one of the staff came up to me, "So, Dave, is this what Lethbridge is like?" I'm like, "It's windy? I didn't even notice." Like, literally, I've seen people blow over. They were just walking on the street, and suddenly they fall over. What happened? I blew over. It happens. I've seen trucks on the side of the road. They blew over. Like, semi-trucks blew over. It's crazy the amount of wind that happens in southern Alberta. That is a violent wind. There are days where you just don't go out because you're going to get like dirt caked in your face. Your hair is going to be messy. And if you wear a tie, it's going to be behind you and choking you the whole time and flapping in the wind like a flag. It's really annoying. I do not like the wind. I will tell you, I do not miss living in Lethbridge with the wind. I like Edmonton. I like you guys. You're in Edmonton, right? I love people in Lethbridge too, but I feel sorry for them sometimes. But the violent wind, so there's this sound of the violent wind, because it does make a sound, doesn't it? It makes a really, really loud sound when it's super windy. And your ears are like, that stings a little bit. And you got to put something in your ears when it's really windy. So there's this sound of this violent wind. But here's the thing. Could you imagine hearing violent wind, but not feeling it? It was the sound of violent wind, but there was no movement in the air. What? And then you see tongues. You see this. You see tongues of fire. So tongues that are on fire, but nobody's getting burned, right? So tongues of fire descending from heaven. Could you imagine this? I mean, this is like a movie that would give you nightmares, right? But tongues of fire coming down and resting on each of them. And then suddenly, and here's where it gets even weirder, is there's everybody speaking different languages, but also understands each other. Isn't that incredible? So people are speaking all these different languages from all these different places, and yet everybody seems to understand what's happening and what's being spoken. And there's this commotion that happens. And here's the thing, like, I don't expect that we're going to hear wind unless we've got some special effects, guys. Do we have some special effects of wind sound? We can really mess with us, hey? No, don't do that. It's going to be weird. So you've got... We're not going to hear the wind and not feel it today. We're not going to see tongues of fire coming down with special effects or anything like that. because it's not necessary. But how do we encounter the Holy Spirit today? That was the first encounter of the Holy Spirit for the disciples. And since then, the church just grew and the church just expanded. And we have all the New Testament that happened after this, and the writings and all the accounts of what happened when the Holy Spirit showed up and stayed with us. But what does encountering the Spirit look like for us? What does this encountering the Spirit look like? Because I believe, friends, that we encounter the Holy Spirit. Have you sensed that ever in your life? If you have, celebrate it. Remember it. Journal that moment. Maybe you experience an encounter of the Holy Spirit every day. Cherish that. If you haven't encountered the Holy Spirit, I encourage you to take the opportunity to invite the encounter of the Holy Spirit into your life. Because what happens is, when we encounter the Holy Spirit, life change happens. Life change happens. And when life change happens, things like, suddenly we're like, I just feel like it's okay to confess my sins to God. It's okay to build bridges of reconciliation with other people and to confess my sins to other people. Life change where my heart just is not angry as much anymore. And I feel like I have a new sense of purpose in life. Life change happens when we encounter the Holy Spirit. And sometimes it happens in a moment. Sometimes it happens in an event. Sometimes we encounter the Spirit when we're in this place of grief or long suffering and waiting for God to move. And sometimes we have these plans that we know God has given us these plans, but we're sitting here and we're waiting and we're just asking God, what is it that I'm waiting for these plans to come through? And then suddenly we encounter the Holy Spirit and we have this peace and this presence. It's okay, you can wait. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can wait. And then all of a sudden, God puts these things in place of our plans or the plans that He has for us. And sometimes it goes exactly how we thought it would. Or sometimes it's like, wow, I didn't expect that at all. And the Holy Spirit encounters that situation. He encounters our life. He encounters our soul, our hearts, and guides us through all of these things. When the Holy Spirit comes and we encounter Him, sometimes there's this sense of just unity and peace amongst others who have also encountered the Holy Spirit. And that those things that were not unified on seem less important because, wow, we're just experiencing the Holy Spirit right now, and suddenly it doesn't matter what color the carpet in the church is. It doesn't matter how many creamers we have in our coffee. Oh, none of that matters. What matters is the Holy Spirit encounter, because that's what's important. And what happens too is I've seen people and I've experienced transformation in my life when I'm open, when I encounter the Holy Spirit. Friends, this is the beginning of the church. This is the beginning of the benefits that we have as believers in Jesus of being empowered by the Holy Spirit, encountering and being transformed and engaging with the Holy Spirit. Because here's the coolest thing about Christianity. You ready? This is the coolest thing about Christianity. You ready for it? This is what sets us apart from any other religion and makes our religion absolutely beautiful. Do you want to know what it is? Yeah. God comes to us. God to us. When I was a kid, it took me 3 tries, but I finally was able to climb Crow's Nest Mountain. Crow's Nest Mountain is in the Crow's Nest Pass, southern Alberta, and it's the tallest mountain in that area. Now, it's not that tall when you look at the mountains of the world. I've got some stats here. It's about 2,700 feet above sea level. So nothing like Mount Everest, which is 8,000 or almost 9,000 meters, or even Kilimanjaro, which is about 6,000 meters above sea level. So not a great feat when it comes to mountaineering, but I'm not a mountaineer. I'm barely even a hiker, right? And it's a lot of work to climb a mountain. It's a lot of work. And it's a big mountain, and it's step after step after step after step trying to get up this steep, steep rocky hill. And it's a lot of work. And then you get to the top and you're like, wow, that was awesome. Man, that was a lot of work. But that's what it is in being with other religions, is that there's this sense where they have to like do these things to be able to get to God. And there's levels they have to go to, and there's things they even have to learn. And it's not that we get to be lazy. That's not the thing. But the thing is, to get to God, He comes to us. We don't have to move to get close to God. He's right here, right now, waiting for us to acknowledge Him, to acknowledge His presence, to want to be with Him. Because that's the thing. He comes down to us, but He doesn't beg us to be with Him. He invites us to be with Him. He wants us to be with Him. But He's not going to make us be with Him. He gives us that freedom. But the fact of the matter is, we follow a God who comes to us. Our God does not require us to climb a mountain or go on a pilgrimage to find Him or get closer to Him. He came to us in Jesus, and He came to us in the Holy Spirit. And friends, that is the beauty of Christianity, the absolute beauty of Christianity. So when you ponder the fact that God comes to us, what does that stir in you? What does that stir in you? Does that sound like good news? To me, it does. Absolutely. Let's look at verse 5. Now, there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, the crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't these all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." That's the only way we can explain it. You see, when the Holy Spirit comes, sometimes there's this sense of mystery, this confusion that happens. And we're left to kind of wonder, okay, what was that? What was it? I was praying for it, but when it happened, it didn't happen quite the way I wanted, and it seemed a bit mysterious to me. And some of the people at that time were intrigued. They're like, what's really happening here? I'm drawn towards this because they're speaking in my language. But then others mocked. Oh, man, that's weird. They must be drunk. And there's this bewilderment that happens when the Holy Spirit shows up. There's an amazement, a perplexity. But there's also sometimes the mockers that come with it, too. It's like, wow, that's just strange. I can't be a part of that. But then when we're embracing it, there's this sense of this hunger for more. It's like, oh, come, Holy Spirit. And when the Holy Spirit comes, I'm like, wow, that was amazing. I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life. And I think if we had a fresh, a deep, a strong encounter of the Holy Spirit today, this morning, I think we need to ask, what is our reaction? What would my reaction be to the Holy Spirit? What would my reaction be? You see, the Holy Spirit gives us this empowerment within our lives. And it's this empowerment to serve God, this empowerment to know God, to love God, but also to serve God and to do the business of God, which is to reach the lost and help develop disciples. And that's what the Holy Spirit does for us. It's not like and God gives us these gifts when we receive the Holy Spirit into our lives. When we become a Christian, we get these gifts through the Holy Spirit, and they're called spiritual gifts, and it's actually a biblical concept. This is an old concept that we've overemphasized or underemphasized in the church throughout the years. And it's not like a superpower or a mystical power, not for personal gain, but it's a special ability that needs to be matured and developed within us, and is kind of a hypernatural ability or natural gifting that we have that's enhanced by the Holy Spirit, and it is for the service of God, for the body of Christ, and to serve the world. And so I just want to list these gifts for you. They're out of Romans chapter 12 and 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And spiritual gifts, there's about, depending on which version you read and depending on which interpretation you have, there's between 16 and 18 gifts, including tongues and the interpretation of tongues, which that was the introduction was with tongues and interpretation of tongues in Acts 2. So you have things like leadership, administration, those are spiritual gifts, creative ability, discernment, encouragement, evangelism, faith, giving, healing, hospitality, intercession, mercy, prophecy, service, shepherding, and teaching. So those are gifts that usually exist within the body of Christ, exist within the church. You've seen a lot of these gifts, haven't you, in the body of Christ? And maybe you've seen some of these gifts within your own life. And there's kinds of inventories that you can take to be able to discern what gifts you may or may not have. Which ones are stronger, which ones, I don't know if that one's really my thing. And the thing is, tongues is one of those gifts, but it's not that it doesn't exist, but it's for a specific time, a specific purpose, a specific situation, to render praises to God and to be interpreted by others in the body. So that's essentially what tongues is for. And sometimes we think, oh, if our pastor starts talking about the Holy Spirit, we're going to start like trying to force everybody to speak in tongues. We're not going to do that. I'll just tell you right now, we're not going to go there. If it happens, it happens. That's awesome. We'll do it in a very biblical way with discernment. But that's not the emphasis here. The emphasis here is that the Holy Spirit gives us good gifts. And it is our responsibility that as we discover those gifts, we develop those gifts, that we're using those gifts to serve God. We're using those gifts to benefit each other. We're using those gifts to benefit the world. And I think one of the things that we need to ask ourselves is, am I learning and using the gifts that the Holy Spirit has given? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and He's given you good gifts. Are you using those gifts? Are you learning those gifts? Are you honing those gifts to be able to serve God in ways that He's calling you to serve? Well, let's read on in the story because it gets kind of fun. Peter addresses the crowd because, you know, they're accusing them of being drunk and they're not. Then Peter stood up with the 11 and raised his voice and addressed the crowd. He said, "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say." Here's the first thing I want to say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. I love the fact that he gave a timeline on that one. Like 10 o'clock, maybe, but not 9. Come on, right? That's just kind of I think that's just for our little humor there. "It is what was spoken to you, brother prophet Joel." So now he goes back into the Old Testament, and I think it's really important. And this is something where, as the Church of God, we take this next passage very seriously, and I want to read it for you. "In the last days, God says, I will pour my spirit on all people. I will pour my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams." Now, a lot of us in this room right now are thinking, okay, am I in the vision or the dream age? I don't know. Right? I'm in that age where I'm kind of wondering. "But even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit on those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke." That's a little scary. "The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So here's what I read in that, is that the Holy Spirit gives an empowerment to everyone, an empowerment to all. Young men with visions, old men with dreams, young women will prophesy, old women will prophesy, and they all receive the Holy Spirit. You see, at the Church of God, we are a part of an 18th century holiness movement. And you're like, what are you talking about? Unless you're a history buff and unless you really like read theology books, which I know there's probably some in here. That's cool. Love it. But we're part of an 18th century Wesleyan holiness. So that means what happens is that there was this spiritual awakening in the 18th century that happened. And there were these things called tent revival meetings. And the church just kind of grew exponentially throughout North America. And it was absolutely incredible. And throughout the world. And come on. Don't do that. There we go. There was this incredible growth within the church that had happened. And out of that came these churches that were planted. And it's based on a lot of this scripture that he will pour out his spirit on all. And see, that's the thing. Both men and women, right? Both men and women. And that's the thing. So here at the Church of God and in a lot of the holiness movement denominations, if you will, we call ourselves a movement, not a denomination, but, you know, it kind of looks like a duck. So anyway, we won't go there. That's another issue of my baggage. Anyway, so we have what we call, we're egalitarian. So since the beginning of our movement, the beginning of our denomination, we have seen men and women as equal leaders by principle, not always by practice. We're not always good at it, but we want to be. It's a value. And it's not because we want to be cool. It's because of how we read this passage, how we interpret Scripture, that we value the fact that we have women. So there's been churches all over North America that have planted by women pastors, planted by men pastors, but also planted by women pastors. And I think that's absolutely incredible. We have women pastors throughout our movement in North America and throughout the world. We have two ordained pastors on staff because we value equally men and women in ministry, in leadership, and in voice. Now, however you want to interpret that and however you want to process that, maybe you want to come next Saturday and ask questions about that. Pastor Egbert has some really good answers. But friends, that is what we're a part of, is the holiness movement. And here's the other thing that we need to recognize, is that you notice that in that passage, there were people from every nation. So what we have to assume, and some of them are from Africa. And so what we need to assume is that the church is a multicultural movement from its beginning. Have you thought about that? A multicultural movement. And so God's church should be a mixture of all types of races, because that's the creation of God. That's how the Holy Spirit works. And not just to be able to practice together, but because we value each other, we are equals with each other. And I think it's so important for us to recognize that, because Christianity, because the Holy Spirit, because Jesus is for everybody. And I am under the conviction that racism has no place in the church. Racism is not biblical. Racism doesn't look like Jesus. Racism doesn't look like the Holy Spirit on all. And friends, if we go against this at any point, what we're doing is we're essentially putting limits on the Holy Spirit. We can't put limits on the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is God. You want to put limits on God based on your biases, based on your upbringing? No, because God is beyond our limits. Go back to the story of creation. Go back to the vastness of our universe that God created. Do you really want to put limits on God? I don't think so. So we are an egalitarian, multicultural movement based on the Bible. And so I think a good question for us is to ask ourselves, am I recognizing the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in myself and in others? Am I recognizing the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in myself and in others? Are there times where I'm using the empowerment of the Holy Spirit for my own gain, or am I using it to empower others to discover Christ more and to grow as a disciple of Jesus Christ? Because friends, those are such important things for us to keep in mind when we follow Jesus and when we invite the Holy Spirit. So some of the questions just to ponder: what does encountering the Spirit look like for you? And what is your reaction to the Holy Spirit? Because the fact of the matter is that when you think about it, God came to us. And how does that sort of comfort your heart and cause you to want to react and receive the Holy Spirit in a powerful way? And what does that mean in your life? Are you learning about the gifts that God has given you and how you are to use those and hone those and develop those in your life to serve God? And are you recognizing the empowerment of the Holy Spirit in others and in yourself? Let's pray together. God, in this moment, we just want to reflect and recognize your Holy Spirit. And God, I recognize for some of us, we kind of live in a constant awareness of the presence of the Holy Spirit within our lives and just live in that assumption and sometimes even take it for granted. Some of us have never encountered the Holy Spirit. Some of us haven't encountered the Holy Spirit for a long time. But God, in this moment, we open our mind, our heart, to receive your Holy Spirit to encounter us today. And God, as we receive you, as we receive your Spirit, Lord, help us to share that with others so that we can develop more encounters of the Holy Spirit together. Because God, we know that your Holy Spirit is not just about having a special service or anything like that, but it's about a daily walking with you, a daily encounter and acknowledgement of your Holy Spirit within our lives and the power that you give, the
power that dwells within us, Lord, that we can have peace and all the fruits of the Spirit within our lives. What a beautiful, beautiful encounter. And so, Lord, we pray for more of you in our lives. Lord, break through the barriers that we've put up against you so that we can receive a fresh encounter and empowerment of your Holy Spirit. Amen.